Okay, just a little update. Prayer request, pray for the Post's family. Post, Pastor John and Diane Post, they are on their way to Nepal. They have a 1 month visa, and pray for direction in terms of their stay in Nepal. That's number one. Number two is, so was a missionary to India and China, Laura Littlefield. She was married, her husband had a stroke in China, so just pray for him in a special way. His name is Scott, I think, right? Yeah? So Father, we come to you today and we pray for Scott today in that hospital today in China, and there's a stroke that he has suffered. We just pray that you will strengthen him and cause his central nervous system to be functional again. By faith, we believe. Be with them in a special way, and be with all the Chinese missionaries and those that will be traveling to the conference in Thailand at the end of the month. We just recognize the forces that can come against your people, but at the same time, your people are more than overcomers by faith. We recognize it, Father. We pray. Bless them today. Give direction to the pastors and the leaders in Southeast Asia. We pray for the churches in the Philippines. We pray for the work started in Japan. We pray for Korea today, Thailand, Machai, Achubiri, on the borders of Burma there with Alex, we pray. Nepal, Father, Tibet, the brothers that are in that place, Bangladesh, those that have graduated and gone there by faith, we pray. Pakistan, the churches that are there, the pastors that keep communicating about their needs that they have in a place where Christians have been tremendously persecuted, and maybe some of them may have seemed like the rest of the world has forgotten them. Yeah, we pray, Father, for them today. Bless the Skype ministry that they have with the church in Finland, and with the videotapes, the audio video that they have with Baltimore's classes, Father, we pray. Open up doors there. We pray, Lord. Yeah, thank you. Bless Pastor Shibeli, who is at this present time in Haiti with 7 people that have gone to be with him. Give them a vision for that place. Bless those pastors. A country rooted in idolatry and witchcraft. We just pray for power for them from on high, especially to come against those forces, Lord, that resist the work of God in those places, your work. We pray, Lord. Yeah. Bless this word today in Jesus' name. Amen. There's some kind of a feedback here, is it? Can you hear? Clear? Reflection. Projection, reflection. Okay, just a couple of thoughts, if you can follow with me today. In the book of Hebrews, in the 6th chapter, in the 17th verse, it says, God willing to demonstrate to the heirs of righteousness the immutability of his purpose, established it with an oath, wherein which by two immutable things it is impossible for God to lie. We therefore have fled for refuge. We who have fled for refuge have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope that is set before us, which hope we have as an anchor for our souls, which is sure and steadfast, one that has entered into the veil, within the veil, whereof our forerunner Jesus Christ has entered before us, having been made a priest forever according to the order of what? God willing to demonstrate. What is he willing to demonstrate? to the heirs of promise the immutability of His purpose. When we believed in Jesus Christ, we just did not receive eternal life as a gift and was saved from the damnation of hell. And as much as that is a unique gift, and we are thankful that we have eternal life today as a gift, and we have the indwelling Holy Spirit as a gift, we have His gift of righteousness as a gift, but God is willing, God wants to demonstrate something much greater. He wants to recognize that we are not just heirs of promise, as it is mentioned here, but in James 2:5, we are heirs of a kingdom. Are you awake? Yes or no? God has chosen in James 2:5 the poor to be rich in faith. God has chosen the poor to be rich in what? Faith. And He has promised to the heirs of the kingdom to be given to us. Then it says this word. To those who love Him. There is a relationship into which we have been called. Remember this. There is a relationship into which we have been called. God just did not give us a position when we became believers in Jesus Christ. And we are very much thankful for that position. We say that is our standing in Christ. We have 100 things that have been given to us as a gift. I have it in my Bible here. Sometimes I put it in my Bibles and I carry it and I read one a day. When there is feedback, echo from Adam. There is a feedback and an echo that comes from Adam, and it reverberates in order to block the sound, which is really happening down right now, soundproofing. The promises of God, they must contest all those reflections that come from Adamic nature. Because at some point of time in our walk with God, in our walk of faith, there might be some hindrances, some obstacles that we might encounter. It is at that moment of time our faith in God should be stronger than it ever was. This is not something that we can work up in ourselves. This is something that is produced in the heart of man by the Holy Spirit. It is the word assurance. What is it? It is the word. Therefore, the believer has an anchor in his life. This anchor protects him from being tossed about in the storms of life. He is not to be worried about the storms, he is to be conscious of the anchor. So God willing to show the heirs of promise the immutability of his purpose. Because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by him. Self. So therefore, he established his promise with an oath. Imagine God having a swearing-in ceremony and he is there taking an oath in relationship to what he has promised. You know, oath-taking? I hereby, Chief Minister of Karnataka, thereby swear that the potholes in this road will be perfect. All that, no? God willing to, I am going to say this again and again, God willing to show or demonstrate. That word is a very interesting word, to show, demonstrate. In some cases it is the manner in which God is, in some cases it is called proof. God demonstrated his love towards us. Different words in the Greek, 5:8, Romans. Romans 3:25, there was a demonstration in relationship to the sins previously committed. In those days the blood was over the mercy seat. Now it is through the cross of Christ. God passing over the sins of the Old Testament saints. God demonstrating something. In the ages to come he will demonstrate what is the riches of his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Paul is saying to the Corinthians, I am not seeking your money, I am seeking the proof of your faith. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9. God willing to show to the who? Not just the immutability of his purpose, he is willing to show the heirs of promise. That means there is a measure of testing that is necessary in order for God to prove himself to be faithful in our lives. This testing is absolutely necessary for us so that the character that you and I possess of being joint heirs will be manifested. Let me say it again. The testings that will come our way are necessary to manifest the character that you and I possess in our lives as a result of being what? Joint heirs. Let me go back to the verse here in Romans chapter 8. And by the time the message is over, you will catch the message. The Spirit himself testifies of our spirit that we are, not that we were, we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and joint heirs with? Who are we today? Heirs of God. Who are we today? Heirs of promise. Who are we today? Heirs of a kingdom. And who are we today? Joint heirs with Christ. This word heir signifies two things, inheritance and rulership. What is it? What does it signify? If you talk to me, inheritance. And number two, rulership. Two things that the enemy will attack. The inheritance that is freely given to us in the new covenant of the blood of Christ in Matthew 26, 26 to 28, Hebrews chapter 8 verses 1 to 6. And number two, our heirship. That means If the believer does not understand his position, he will be in trouble in relationship to his possessions. Therefore, he is called to a life of faith. So today, you and I, we are heirs of a promise. That is the word I want to stress on in the next few minutes. We are heirs of a God willing to demonstrate, to show what the immutability of his purpose to the heirs of promise. Many times believers want to change course. They want to navigate their way in the call. They might want to choose an alternative pathway. This is all in relationship to God's divine direction. They may seek to, for a moment, live in the permissive will of God. Because at some point of time, they lose sight of the fact that they are heirs of promise. That means, apart from them God is not, cannot be a partake, they limit God from being a partaker with them. Say it again. God is completely and totally satisfied in the work of his Son on the cross. He is completely, totally satisfied. He is completely and totally glorified by the work of the Christ, by the work of his Son, the cross. But he has a deeper satisfaction. He has a deeper satisfaction when all those that have believed in Christ are with Christ, where Christ is in heaven. You understand that? Christ is saying in John 17, glorify me now, Father, with thy glory I had before the world began. In 17:5, then at the end of the chapter, he's saying, Father, I pray that all those that you have given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. So the satisfaction that God has in terms of Christ doing the work is one thing, but the satisfaction that he has in terms of we being with Christ where he is quite another. Now, I'm not saying that God lives in degrees of contentment. No, God is all-sufficient. But there is a way by which the believer can bring glory to God in this manner. By causing him to make his joy be made full in us. I pray that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. When we at some point of time lose our perspective along the way, we limit God from making his joy be made full in our lives. So far so good? Therefore, We must recognize that God wants to demonstrate to the heirs of righteousness the unchangeableness or the immutability of His purpose. No matter what befalls me as a believer, no matter what comes my way, no matter how many lapses we have had in our lives, how many times we have entered into retrogression, how many times a person has backslidden, we must believe that God is willing to demonstrate to the heirs of righteousness the immutability of His purpose. In that case, it is in context to the call of Abraham. That is the only consolation that you and I have in this life, if we are to allow God to prove Himself to be faithful in relationship to that which He has promised. God wants to disarm the arm. Arm is pastor's name in Thailand. And when I first saw him at the Finnish conference, the worship went on, the Spirit of God took him over. And he started dancing in front, and he was like David before thee. And I was about to make a mental judgment on him, and I realized Micah became barren. I better not say anything. But he was just, whenever the music starts, he loses it. The believer, and I thought about it, you know, I was just thinking, suddenly came to my mind, when God makes a declaration, the believer must live in the anticipation of that declaration. And he must recognize that anything that comes against that declaration, anything that comes against that declaration is an interference. It is a distraction. And even for a moment, if he can get distracted a little bit, it is that declaration that he must hold on to. So God has not only given the believer a position in heaven, He has also given the believer an eternal purpose on the earth. We said it to a few people. And Pastor Benny said the message on Sunday. Guilt and condemnation is the poison that has been injected in us through the fall. But the blood of Christ and justification is the believer's portion to deal with the poison in us. When the believer knows how to appropriate the blood in his life, the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in his life, in Hebrews 9, 11 to 14. And he understands what the gift of righteousness is in relationship to his justification before God. He will not allow the poison of condemnation and guilt to manipulate him in relationship to what God has for him in terms of being a joint heir with Christ in relationship to his inheritance. And in relationship to what? Huh? Exactly. If he is insecure about his inheritance, he will be completely and totally eliminated in terms of his rulership, because he will have no resource by which he rules. Therefore, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, the believer is an able minister of the new covenant. For our sufficiency, we are not adequate in ourselves, as our sufficiency as coming from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. Therefore, we are made able ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter that kills, but of the spirit that gives life. The spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, joint heirs with Christ, if we are to suffer with him, we shall also rule with him. You see, now that be part of the verse is in terms of our identification in relationship with the plan that God has for us in this life, which is according to the eternal purpose which he has purposed in himself. That's Ephesians 1, 9 to 11 and 3:11 of the book of Ephesians. So we have this man, and book of Acts chapter 7, I'll make a few correlations and then I'll close, okay? There are these paradoxes, or what we call seemingly apparent contradictions, which are unique. Because a person that only functions from a human perspective and doesn't understand God's willingness to demonstrate to us the immutability of his purpose will not be able to get past the heat that God will allow in one's life in Jeremiah chapter 17. And let's look at it here in chapter 7. The patriarchs became jealous of Joseph and sold him into Egypt in verse 9 of chapter 7, yet God was with him. That happened in Genesis chapter 37. Okay? The patriarchs became jealous of Joseph and sold him into Egypt, yet God was with him. Now in verse 14, then Joseph sent word and invited Jacob his father and all his relatives to come to him, 75 persons in all. Because Jacob heard in verse 12, this is 7:14, but in verse 12, that there was grain in Egypt. Wait a minute. I thought Joseph was finished as an individual after having been sold to the Ishmaelites. Joseph is not a work of God in terms of being a work in progress. Joseph is a plan that God is waiting to perfect. Let me say it again. Joseph is not someone that is a work in progress. You know, sometimes people say, I'm a work in progress. Of course, you can say that, I'm a work in progress. But Joseph is just more than a work in progress. He is someone that God has placed in a specific plan that he wants to perfect. God willing to demonstrate to the heirs of promise the immutability of his purpose. Therefore, Joseph can now, in the conditions that he finds himself, take strong encouragement because there is a certain kind of hope that is set before him. Now, that word in the Greek, prokiemai, set before, is a word that was used when athletes would go to participate in the games. And the trophy and the prize would be before them displayed as they participate in the games. So their motivation for participating in the games was that prize that basically they would inherit. The believer's motivation is not something that he will get in the future. The believer's motivation is something that is already given to him in relationship to what Christ has accomplished for him. Therefore, he is now an able minister willing to be commissioned by God. And he is to exercise his ministry as one that has been given an inheritance. And number two, what is it? He rules. He has joint rulership. Joseph had rulership. But he was sold as a before the believer, he is a sinner still, but he was not redeemed. Therefore, we were slaves. But we were slaves in the sense that we were serving our sin nature in Romans chapter 6. Our bodies were instruments of unrighteousness. We were slaves of sin. Now we are slaves of righteousness. We are no longer slaves of sin. We are not ruled over. We rule over. Big difference. The whole aspect of 7:9 is completely overrun because of 7:14. How was it possible for this man to arrive at this position? Because God wants to demonstrate the immutability of his purpose to the heirs of promise. Therefore, he must let opposition come against us. He must let the forces of darkness come against us. He must. This is not so that it would be proven that we are stronger. This is to give him an opportunity to prove that he cannot deny himself that he is faithful. We must be delivered from the mentality of trying to be successful. We must be delivered from the mentality of wanting to always have the strength to overcome. And that is not wrong in and of itself. But we must be willing to enlist for God, irrespective of my success or irrespective of my ability. That is why many times missionaries did not qualify for the job. Because the boards considered it to be a job, they considered it to be a call. And they did not let those boards determine whether they were going to go to the places they were called, because they were called by a God that wants to demonstrate to them the immutability of his purposes, and no mission board was going to stand in the way. We have needs, many needs. But we did not start this work. God started it. Philippians 1:6, 1 Thessalonians 5:22-24, Psalm 188, verse 8. If he started it, he will finish it. But many times people are finished before he finishes the work. Because they somehow allow their human reasoning to interfere with the principle of faith operation. And so we have this second paradox here in chapter 7 verse 5. But he gave him no inheritance in it, not even a foot of ground. And yet even when he had no child, he promised that he would give it to him as a possession and to his descendants after him. Chapter 7 verse 5. Chapter 7 verse 16. From there they were removed to Shechem and laid in the tomb which Abraham had purchased for a sum of money from the sons of Hamor in Shechem. Burial site is the only thing that Abraham possessed. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 11. I'm closing. All these died in faith. Remember, they died, but they died in faith, without receiving the? Isn't that an apparent contradiction to the book of Hebrews in the verse that we read in chapter 6? They all died in faith without receiving the promise, but having seen them, having welcomed them and having from a distance and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the they had received the promise, they died in faith without receiving the promise. Because they had understood that the nature of the promise would not be fulfilled in their lifetime. Verse 39, and all these having what? 11:39, what is it? All these having? Huh? What's the word? Yeah, gained approval through their faith. Did not receive what was? Because God had provided something better for us knuckle-headed people. So that apart from us, they would not be made. So these people are in the waiting room. Train is late. They are waiting there for us to be perfected so that they would receive what was promised to them. And in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, they are waiting in a grandstand up in heaven, looking at us down, hoping that we would get the point. But we are not getting the point, we are getting the question mark. Point means finality, question mark means we don't really know. And the believer is not recognizing that God is wanting us to, now that he's trapped somewhere, to release him in the arena. God wants us to release him in the, he wants, but we are limiting him with our reasoning and mentality. And many times we ask, and it's who we are. We get skeptical, we start doubting and all these things. But then God is saying, I want to demonstrate to you. I want to demonstrate to you. What is it? I want to show you what? The immutability of my purpose. Will you allow me to prove myself to be faithful to you? Because I not only am going to do that, I actually swore by oath that this is what I will do. So what kind of a hope does the believer have in Titus 1:2? He has a hope that is alive. What kind of a hope that he has in Romans 5:5? A hope that never disappoints. What kind of a hope does he have in 6:19 and 20 of Hebrews? A hope that enters within the veil where Christ has entered as a forerunner. It would be presumptuous to enter into the out inner court and the most holy place in the Old Testament. It is not presumptuous anymore in Hebrews 4:16. It is the birthright of the believer as a result of being co-heirs with Christ, because that is the throne that Christ shares with the believer. See, going to the throne of grace and finding mercy is as if to say that I have to qualify to go there. That is the place where we belong. That's why we come. That is not the place we go to once in a way. That is the place we belong. So when Christ is in the storm with his disciples, he should have just levitated, no? Out of the boat, levitated, and he should have just yoga style, you know, gone out into a separate place, and the disciples, no, he remained with the disciples in the boat, asleep as he was. Why? Because he was training them to exercise their authority, which was given to him by the Father in 11:27 of Matthew. So let me close. Acts chapter 7. What did God promise? What did God promise to Abraham? Okay. Just read these verses and we'll close. I have a lot more to say. Maybe I'll preach in Hyderabad. Okay, this man led them out performing wonders and signs in the land of Egypt, in the Red Sea and in the wilderness for 40 years. Who was that? Who was that? Huh? Say loudly. Moshak. If you say that, people will understand, you know Hebrew. Moses. It's 39. Our fathers were unwilling to be obedient to him, but repudiated him in their hearts and turned back to? See, they did not give God an opportunity to demonstrate to them something. He didn't give an opportunity. So, let me say this. In 17 of 7, but at that time, the promise was approaching, which God had what? Sworn to Abraham. At that time of the promise was approaching, with God had sworn. There is a promise that is always, God is always approaching that the believer through the promise that he makes. But the question is, does the believer understand that approach by God? It says, but at the time of the promise was near. Hebrews 4:1 says, the promise remains of entering into the rest, but they did not enter in because of. Some people do not give God an opportunity to let the promise be near to them. So the promise remains, as a result of which they are not able to enter into the rest. You understand that? Yes, it's clear. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 1. And chapter 7 verse 17. So what happens to us is, we do not see hope in adversity. We do not see hope in adversity. We look at adversity, but we do not see hope in it, because we have somehow been disconnected from the principle of the fact that we are still joint heirs in that situation with Christ, and God wants to reveal to us, to demonstrate the immutability of his purpose in it. I don't know if you've got it, but you can just look up these verses at home, 45, 46 and 47. It's one thing for God to promise Abraham the land. It's quite another thing for Solomon to build a temple for God in it. These verses speak of Joshua going into the land. This verse speaks about David wanting to build a house, but then Solomon built a house for God. How did it all happen? How did it all happen? Where did God find David? In Harvard? Yale? Oxford? MIT? God found David there, no? Really? He found him there? David was not even standing in line. David was out of line. We don't have to play lottery. We don't have to look at a horoscope. We don't have to go to special meetings where people are prophesying over us. We just have to be in the place where God reveals to us the immutability of his purpose. And just like Abraham and the patriarchs, if God puts something in our hearts by faith, then God will prove to us the immutability of his purpose, because we are heirs of promise. We are heirs of the kingdom of God. And the decisions that we will make in our lives will determine what we understand in relationship to these verses and these promises that God has made in our personal lives. Father, we just thank you for this evening. Joseph had a dream, but that was sufficient for him. Abraham beheld your glory in Acts chapter 7 verse 2. He saw the glory in the earth, the Chaldees. That was sufficient for him. Moses saw the burning bush. And that was sufficient for him. Many times in our lives, we are given a glimpse of things, but that is not sufficient for us. Your word says that we are sufficient or able ministers of the New Testament still we do not understand and comprehend that, what it means, and we run to accumulate other things in our lives, and we don't recognize what that sufficiency is all about in our lives. And we live beggarly lives, like the book of Galatians says, why they were living, even though they were under the law, they were less than who we are in terms of heirs of the kingdom. And they were like people living like children under the age of 18, because the law could not give them an inheritance. But we have an inheritance today. So Father, help us to recognize these things. The day of reckoning is upon us in Acts chapter 7, verse 17. But there is also a promise that remains, because there is unbelief in our midst, and then people cannot enjoy their inheritance. Help us to recognize that you are waiting to prove, demonstrate to us the immutability of your purpose. And our personal sins, our failures, our shortcomings may limit you to a certain extent and may postpone things, but they will never ever cause you not to fulfill what you have promised for us. And we just so thankful for it today, Father, we pray. And if Moses could not take people into the promised land and his time was up, then Joshua will take them in, because you did promise to give them the land as their inheritance, and we can rest in it, Father, today. We thank you, we praise you, bless each one here in this room today. Bless our offering as we give by faith, Father. We pray for the needs that we have during the conference to raise up money for these missionaries that will come, Father, we pray. So hearken unto our prayer today, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. We'll sing one worship song, we'll dismiss.